Well, today, I want to discuss a question with you for which every believer needs a solid answer. It concerns one of those hot button issues that will not go away. And that is, what is God's position on homosexuality? A related question to that is, what must be the Christian's response to God's position on homosexuality? You see, there, these two questions are questions that we just cannot ignore as believers. Because the differing views on homosexuality are dividing homes, churches, entire denominations like never before. Military chaplains are forced to compromise their convictions as they perform their duties in the military. Probate judges are being asked to do the same by issuing marriage license to gay couples. In the same realm, schools are now being forced to allow boys to choose to go to girls' bathrooms if they wish. And in some businesses, they are following suit. And if God has spoken on this issue, then it is incumbent, it is imperative that we hear what He is saying, and then we get in on His side and follow His will as we respond, just like any other moral issue. So today I want to leave with a clear understanding of what God says about homosexuality and how we must take our stand with Him. Now, before we go any further, I want to say that God's viewpoint on homosexuality is not the same for everyone. But when you distill all the rhetoric down to its fountainhead, you are left with only two bases for God's opinion. And that is the mind of man, first of all. What theologians, what politicians, what professors, what lawmakers, what judges, what TV news analysis, and even what some preachers are saying they think that God thinks about homosexuality. The mind of man is one basis, and then there's the mind of God, which we find in His Word. Now, beloved, as believers, no matter how logical the argument may sound, no matter how persuasive a man's words may be, we don't have any choice when we come to the basis of God's opinion. We must go with God's Word. We've got to go with God's Word. We don't go partially with the Quran. We don't go partially with the Veda, which is the book of the Hindus, or any other holy book. We must go with the Word of God. But there's something else that we need to understand today. And that is, it is not our purpose to pick on homosexuals today. We're going to proceed and find out that this lifestyle is in clear violation of God's Word. But His Word tells us there are many other practices that are just as much in violation, like deceit or greed or pride or anything else. We're speaking about homosexuality today because it happens to be taught by God in the series we're talking about, which is the book of Romans. And we cannot pick and choose what we want to study and learn from God's Word. So we must address what God's Word says, whatever it says. So, with that in mind, let's see what God says about this matter of homosexuality. Romans chapter 1. Turn there with me if you will, please. We're going to read in beginning in verse 28. Romans chapter 1 verse 26, that is, through verse 28. There, God's Word says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use for the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." Well, in these verses, there's no wiggle room to find out God's opinion on homosexuality. God says in verse 26, it is sinful. Paul calls it a vile passion. That literally means to have a passion after that which is depraved. You pick the illustration. You picture something in your mind that is hideous to you, a practice that is totally gross to you. That makes you shiver when you think about it. Friends, that is God's opinion of homosexuality. But God not only says that it is sinful, He says it is also shameful. I want you to look at verse 27. Look at 27 again. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another, men with men committing that which is shameful. The word shameful is the same word that John uses in Revelation when he talks about the shame of nakedness. Friends, listen. God says those who practice homosexuality should be embarrassed because of what they're doing, just as much as someone who had been stripped naked in public. It's not only sinful, it's shameful. Well, I know these are strong words. They're difficult to say, and they're difficult to accept, and I understand that. But I want you to remind you that these are God's words. This is God's view of homosexuality. But it is imperative that we understand the reason He is so adamantly opposed to this sin. So I want us to go back, if we can, in God's Word, and look at the source. At the source of homosexuality. And Paul tells it to us in verses 18 through 23. So let's back up. Verses 18, Romans chapter 1. Follow with me as I read. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Well, a few weeks ago we saw in chapter 1 that God put it in the heart of every person that He exists. Every person, wherever they live on this globe, has the innate knowledge that God exists and that God is a good and a loving God. But even though they knew this from the beginning, men rebelled against God's authority and God's loving plan for their lives. And their hearts became darkened, the Bible says, when they rebelled against God. And they began worshiping, first of all, other men. And then they begin to transfer their worship from men to the birds of the air. And then they degraded and fell a little notch and began to worship the beast of the field. And then they degraded themselves further and began to worship the bugs of the ground. And by this time, God said, I have had enough. Now look what it says that God did when He said, I've had enough. Verse 24, look at it. It says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul said, therefore God also gave them up in verse 24. You need to circle the word also if you're a Bible marker. You see, God gave up mankind because, first of all, mankind gave up on God. Mankind said, God, we're going to give you up and go our own way. And so God said, you want to go your own way? Okay, I'll give you up to your own way. And that's what He did. Paul said God gave them up to pursue all kinds of uncleanness, which includes homosexuality that we read about in verse 26. Now, we see this manifested very early in human history. We see it in Genesis in the men of Sodom who pursued those angels that came to rescue Lot. They looked like men. They thought they were men. And they pursued to know them carnally. That's where we first see homosexuality. But if we're to fully understand, really understand why it is so hideous to God, we've got to go back further than that, all the way to the Garden of Eden. God expressed in His own words why homosexuality is so hideous in the Garden of Eden. You see, many view homosexuality actually as just another kind of shoot-off from improper heterosexuality. They believe that, well, it does not matter if they're consenting adults, just like those who live outside of marriage, they're heterosexuals, same way with homosexuals. It just doesn't matter if they're not harming anyone else. It's okay. But when you go back to creation, Genesis chapter 1, you find out it is not okay. Not okay at all. Genesis 1 tells us that God created man male and female. It also says that on the sixth day, when he finished his creation, he stood back, looked at it, and he said, "It is very good." And we know it was very good because God is perfect. So it wasn't only very good, it was perfect. His creation. That means the relationship that he established between male and female was perfect. His plan for companionship between the male and the female was perfect. His plan for procreation was perfect. His plan for sexual intimacy was perfect. Look what God says again in verse 26, Romans 1. Look at it. "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature." Do you see what God's saying here? He's saying that the heterosexual relationship is a natural relationship. And he goes on to say that even the women, you see, women are prone to be more responsive to God than men, but even the women burn with lust one for another. And then in verse 27 he says, "Also the men." Now let me say to you, when you go back to Genesis 1 and 2, Adam was not confused at all on this issue. Not one bit. The Hebrew word in Genesis 2 indicates, the words in Hebrew, that after God had put Adam to sleep, had taken that rib and had fashioned the woman, when he woke from surgery, he took one look at Eve and he had the thrill of his short life. I mean, he looked at her and she was a perfect 10 on the outside and on the inside. We know she was perfect because, listen, she was the only woman ever created by God's hand without human help, without the mother and the father, without a sin nature to be passed down for her, to mar her perfection. She was perfect. One author I read this week said she would make Wonder Woman look sick. And I agree. Listen. Eve was the first Miss Universe. She was. Now, all of us men know how pretty our wives are. But I will tell you, there was not a woman ever made that could hold a candle in perfection and beauty like Eve could when God created her. Not at all. Not at all. Well, you see, for that reason, Adam wasn't confused one bit about Eve. Not a bit. But here's the point. Homosexuality is a wicked perversion to God's perfect plan for man and woman to love and cherish one another, to be fruitful and to replenish the earth, to give children a mother's love and a father's guidance. And when a person engages in homosexuality, they make a blatant declaration to God, "God, you were not perfect in the plan for the man and the woman, at least not in my case." And so you see, the source of homosexuality, just like every other sin, started when Adam and Eve took that fruit and the curse of sin fell on the world. That's when it all started. Now, may I say this? Despite what the Bible says about homosexuality, there are still those who say, "Listen, homosexuality is who I am. I was born that way. It's in my genes." And many go on to say, "Listen, we know that homosexuality is genetically induced because once a homosexual, always a homosexual. You can't change." So I want to give you three reasons today. Three reasons, three things you can share with people who may tell you, "Listen, it's in my genes, I can't change, it's something I can't help." Three reasons to tell them there is a way you can be helped. There is a response. First of all, we can answer them biblically. Biblically. Now we've already seen from Genesis and from Romans 1 what God thinks about the relationship between the man and the woman. But I want you to turn, if you will, now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and read with me beginning in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Paul writes, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Paul plainly says in this passage that homosexuality is a sin that will keep people out of heaven. But he writes that some of the Corinthian Christians used to be homosexuals and now they're going to heaven. Paul says that they were washed and sanctified and justified. In other words, they were saved. Now listen, when Paul said they were saved, he refutes both arguments of the homosexuals. First of all, it's in my genes, and secondly, I can't change. Now, why is that? Number one, homosexuality is the natural cause by genetics. Well, is that true? Well, listen, that cannot be. Why? I'll tell you why. Because nowhere in the Bible do we read that we are being justified and washed and sanctified from a genetic code. We're washed and justified and sanctified from our sin. That's what. Listen, if homosexuality is by genetic code, what about stealing? Is that by genetic code? It's in the same list that we just read. Would you say to someone, listen, your daddy was a bank robber, so it's okay for you to rob banks? It was in your genetic code. We would never say that. And the same thing also goes to, with greed in the same list. No, listen, these are behaviors. They have nothing to do with genetics. Here's what they have to do with. They have to do with our spiritual father the day we were born. John 8, 44 says to the Pharisees, Jesus said, "You of your father the devil, and you'll do what the devil wants you to do." Listen, every one of us had a spiritual father the day we were born. It was Satan. He's the one that inspires homosexuality and every other sin. No such thing as a genetic code that we were washed from. Well, there's something else. This matter of homosexuality, once a homosexual, always a homosexual, is that true? Can't be. Because Paul said, look, you have some Corinthians, Christians, and you were washed. You're not present tense. It's not present tense. It's past tense. Some of you were homosexuals. Not anymore. You were delivered. So the biblical evidence is rock solid. But listen, there's also scientific evidence that homosexuality cannot be genetically inspired. And the simple evidence is what happens with identical twins. Identical twins means that they're just exactly alike in every sense of the word. That means that 100% of the time, identical twins have the same eye color. If they don't, they're not identical. To be identical means you generated from one sperm and one egg cell, both twins. And everything is identical. So if identical twins have the same eye color, would it not make sense that if one were homosexual, so would the other? It would have to be. But studies show that less than half of identical twins are both homosexuals. Friends, case closed. Science proves that it cannot be genetic. It cannot be genetic. Well, what about this argument, once a homosexual, always a homosexual? There is one group who works with homosexuals who want to be delivered, and they have a 71% success rate. 71% leave the gay lifestyle and become straight again. It cannot be. Scientifically proven, it is a unbreakable lifestyle. It is genetically inspired. Impossible. But there's not only the biblical evidence, the scientific evidence, but the logical evidence that it cannot be genetically inspired. Think about this. We've seen what the Bible says. Homosexuality is a sin. We have to accept that. Now let me ask you, question. This being true, if homosexuality was caused by genetics, what does that tell us about a loving God? I'll tell you what it tells us. It tells us that God is not loving at all. Would God stack the deck against someone by giving them a bent towards sin before they were even born that might cause them to have a more propensity to be condemned to hell? Absolutely not. That's not our loving God. And James concurs with that. James 1 says that God does not sin, nor does He tempt any man to sin. Friends, logically, it doesn't make sense that homosexuality is genetically inspired. So, where did it come from? It came when Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit. That's the only place it could come from. And listen, there's one, at least one, reputable non-Christian who agrees with this. There's a lady named Dr. Camille Pagella. She is a lesbian. She is a doctor. Here's what she said. She would not agree. Listen, she would not agree that homosexuality is a sin. But listen to what she does say. I am paraphrasing. Homosexuality cannot be normal. It is actually a challenge to the norm. The normal or natural is heterosexuality, whether the academic world likes it or not. No one has ever been born gay. It's a crazy idea. Homosexuality is a morph and nothing more. This is what a lesbian said. But I want us to move on for a moment from the source of homosexuality to the sorrow of homosexuality. Romans 1:27 says this. We read it a few moments ago. Paul says, men were with men committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty for the error which is due. Listen, beloved, homosexuality is not just a little innocent peccadillo. It is not just a little boo-boo that God winks at. Paul says that homosexuals receive the penalty of the error, and they receive it in themselves. Some of the penalty is within their own bodies because they are homosexuals. Here's what Steve Hale, who preached in our church a few years ago, wrote in a book called Truth Decay concerning the consequences of this lifestyle. Listen, the average lifestyle, the average lifespan of an American male is 76 years of age. Only 12% of homosexuals make it to age 65. And the average lifespan of a homosexual male, excluding AIDS, which lowers it, excluding AIDS, average lifespan, 42 years of age. Domestic violence in homosexual couples doubles that of heterosexual couples. 1,000 lesbians were surveyed not long ago, and half of them reported being abused by their partner. In 1980, a study revealed that only 2% of homosexuals said they were in either a monogamous or a semi-monogamous relationship, meaning less than 10 partners. One survey revealed 43% of white homosexual males, 43% confessed they had had 500 or more partners. And God's standard is one, your husband or your wife. And if your wife or husband dies or they are unfaithful and you remarry, then that would make two. In addition to these horrible statistics, gay men smoke twice as much as straight men. Gay men are prone to drink heavily 9 times more than straight men. Gays have a higher rate of depression and a higher rate of mental health services using them than straights. There's still more. The children of gay couples, on average, have poorer health. They have poorer emotional health. They have poor performance in school. They have increased risk in physical abuse. And they have lower self-confidence, and they have a high rate of criminal behavior. Now let me ask you something, friends. What is the cause of all this bad stuff? All the ill health of homosexuals, the promiscuity, the substance abuse. What is the cause of the dysfunction of the children? I'll tell you what the cause is. Paul says it 3 times in verses 24, 26, and 28. He says, God gave them up. God said, I'll let you go your own way. And when God gave them up, Satan took them up and he led them off into the abyss of heartache and misery and destruction. Now, we could go on and on about this. We know that we know one thing. We know that homosexuality is here until Jesus comes. Unless God chooses to send revival, it's here to stay. And if He sends revival, it's coming back before the second coming of Jesus. So, question is, what are we going to do? What is our response to this social issue, this sin that is so prevalent in our society? Well, are we to retreat into a shell and pray we can stave off the influences on our children and our grandchildren? Or are we just to say live and let live? Well, I think those two are not options for us, are they? No, we must find out God's mind and obey God in this matter. And so I want to give you four bullet points about how we are to respond as we close. Four things. First of all, we are to stand. We are to stand. Do not waver on what God says about homosexuality. But listen, that's exactly what's been happening in the last few years. 10 years ago, statisticians tell us 14% of evangelicals said homosexual marriages are sinful. 10 years later, it is 35%, over twice the amount. Friends, listen. Evangelicals are America's last hope. We are Bible believers. If we don't stand, we're out hope in this country. It's lights out. And we must stand on the truth. Isaiah chapter 40 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever, and we must stand with the Word. Stand. Second one, we've got to pray. We must pray. We've clearly seen we're talking about a sin problem here. The only cure for sin is salvation and revival. We pray that God will save homosexuals. We pray that the few who are Christians and have fallen into that lifestyle will be delivered. And we pray that we will stand firm on the Word. We must pray. That's our greatest weapon, prayer. So we stand, we pray. Thirdly, we love. We love. God forbid that we should treat homosexuals with anything but love. We've already seen that the Corinthian church won some homosexuals to Jesus. Now, how did they do it? Did they do it by hating on them all the time? No. They didn't. By shunning them? By condemning them to hell? Absolutely not. They loved them into the kingdom. That's what they did. A couple of years ago, or three or so, I read the testimony of a young lady who gave her life to Christ. You know how she did it? She was a lesbian. But she joined a church softball team. They took her in. They said, "You can play softball with us." They loved on her. They showed her a better way. They showed her the love of Jesus. And they showed that Jesus loved them, her even more than they did, and she came to Christ. Love the homosexuals. I'm telling you, love will cover a multitude of sins. It will break down any barrier. So, we stand, we pray, we love, and we speak. We must speak. Why do you think the gays have enjoyed such success in the last 20 years? Why do you think this message is all over this nation? Why do you think now gay marriage is legal? Why, when only 5% of our country are actually homosexuals? I'll tell you why. Because they've been trumpeting this message loud and clear. When most of us have had Band-Aids over our mouths. Amen. Friends, listen, we've got to stand. We have got to get into conversations and stand for the truth unashamedly. And we've got to broach that subject with our homosexual friends. Listen, we love them. And then after we've loved them and they know we love them, we've got to risk rejection by broaching the subject and say, "Listen, because I love you, I must speak to you the words of life." Friends, I'll tell you, if we will stand, if we will pray, if we will love, and if we will speak, we will make a difference with somebody. And who knows how far God will take it. Well, I pray that today you'll take this word and you'll obey the Holy Spirit. He will honor you as you make a difference on this issue. Now, may I say this? Please, please listen. The Bible does not categorize sin. God hates my pride, my unbelief, my temper, my lust. God hates my laziness just as much as He hates the homosexual sin. He hates whatever particular sin you have in your life just as much. We need to understand that sin is sin, but Jesus saves from sin and Jesus delivers from sin. So I just want to lay this homosexual thing aside today, right now. And I ask you today, what is the sin in your life you need some deliverance from? This is not a loaded question. This is honest. Who would say I got it all together? My hands down. Jesus came to deliver all of us. Today, the invitation is to let Him deliver you from whatever Satan is on your case about. I promise you, my Jesus, strong enough to set you free, no matter whatever it is you're dealing with. Will you let Him do it? Are you saved today? Have you been forgiven? Have you been washed in the blood? Washed, justified, sanctified? Have you? Today, Jesus wants to save you. If you're saved, are you walking the walk in victory? Let Him set you free from whatever sin is in your life.